What's going on, everyone? Welcome to episode 205 of Looter Lessons. I'm Ro, and I'm here joined by Jay, who is back from the dead.
I'm back, baby. Let's go. I'm alive. We did it. We're here. I survived the Ravens losing and drinking a lot. So I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, and then like they just canceled the football season. I don't know why that happened. That's weird.
There's Super Bowl this year. There's nothing else going on. I mean, it was nice. I came home today and I was very excited to get done with work. I got done with work very early today for reasons we won't get into. But I was like, oh, I don't have football to stress about tonight. And that's great. That's awesome.
Yeah, you were able to just dive straight into Pokemon. And we did have two events this weekend. Melbourne Regionals in Australia and Knoxville Regionals in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yeah, we got Melbourne this weekend.
Yeah.
And then we got Knoxville.
What accent was that even?
I was trying to go with my Texan one, but I didn't have enough time to my Southern one. And I just didn't have time to get into it. And Knoxville is a very weird word for Southern drawls. So
yeah, I don't know what you were doing there. This is why.
Hell yeah, brother. We had Knoxville this weekend.
My accent is just drunken Northeastern, so I really can't do anything else.
Yeah, me too. So obviously, it didn't work out here.
So this is, again, like one of the, like, so this is week four, I think. Is it week three? We've been covering a lot of events, right?
Lots of events recently.
Yeah, and we still have another one coming up next weekend. But it's been an absolute marathon of Regulation F events, and what's been great, the good part is this metagame, because of all the events week over week, the meta has been really, really, really pushed. What we saw do really well in Portland when the Regulation started is absolutely non-existent in today's game. Like, there's no, like, Gentay is just gone. I tried making the claim earlier today that I was actually right, that Entei is a B-tier mon, and then the counterpoint that was brought up to me was, how gone is the Pokemon when the entire meta warped around stopping it from doing well?
So it also placed third place today, so we can't, it's definitely not gone.
No, it's not. It was the third fire type, though.
Yeah.
And we will get into all of that. But beforehand, we do want to start with, because just as of recording, none of the data from either regional, so like Top Cut Explorer, Mouse Lab, Lab Mouse, Victory Road, like none of that information's out there. So we're doing this off the cuff by memory and screenshots and Twitter. And for Twitter, the only thing we have to share with you all, and it's the only thing we sadly have for Melbourne, is Kieran Singh's team. They made a tweet today, 2024 Melbourne Regional Champion. Words cannot describe what this means to me. I fulfilled the Roaring Moon prophecy. Roaring Moon is not mid anymore. It is a champion. It has a ring. It beat the allegations. So I know it might be a little tough. The team that that Kieran brought, it was Incineroar, Roaring Moon, Fluttermane, Amoongus, Raging Bolt, and Ogrepan Wellspring. A lot of those Pokemon outside of the Roaring Moon, you will come to find out, were very popular all around. Usually for Australian events, the winning team, or like the top eight or so, it's a little more off kilter. They have their own metagame. For those of you who do recall our discussion of Brisbane, there was a Clefable that made cut. And it was like the first tournament in Reg E that wasn't dominated by Tornadus Urshifu. So it was a very weird tournament. And to see, wouldn't say a normal team, but a team closer to the global meta, the Western meta, is very interesting. The tournament was bigger. They actually had enough players for a legitimate day two of a top 32 cut for day two, something they didn't have in Brisbane. They only had a normal top eight, like top cut plays day two. So it was, this is one of like the bigger events that has occurred, might be the biggest event that occurs in Australia this season. And so congrats to Kieran for getting that win and getting that Worlds invite.
Yeah, and this team is very cool. I mean, it's very, it is pretty standard in terms of, you know, everything on the team outside of maybe the Roaring Moon, but we have seen it rise a little bit. You know, there has been a lot of usage in other tournaments of Roaring Moon, and we've seen it do well. It's still, you know, it's a good Pokemon with a lot of strengths. The, you know, Terra Flying Acrobatics set is still solid. The knockoff Breaking Swipe stuff is really good as well with Tailwind. You know, it's a good Pokemon that slots pretty well onto this team. We see like this team with Darkfu instead a lot of the time, and you know, Darkfu is all encompassing, you know, just a great Pokemon with a really amazing stats and ability and signature move. And so that's why it's a lot more slottable onto more teams than something like Roaring Moon. But I do like, you know, Moon quite a bit in this format. I think it's a good Pokemon still.
Yeah, and as we move over to the day one usage stats, you can also see like one of the things that it makes Roaring Moon a very interesting Pokemon is that like when you look at just what's popular day one, especially if you're running the Dragon Dance Terra Flying Acrobatics set, you're threatening the Yogurpon, Wellspring, number two overall. You're threatening both Urshifus with damage. You're threatening the Rillaboom and the Amoongus with damage. And on the other end, you're running Knockoff. Knockoff, after a Dragon Dance, Knockoff is hitting the Ferrigarath insanely hard. So it's very good in the sense of it also resists all of the Fire, Water, Grass damage output that you can see within the top 12. So just in general, it's a Pokemon that I think just has a great typing for the metagame right now and has great offensive output with that Dragon Dance set. Or again, it could also act as a damage mitigation set with the Tailwind.
I just wanted to mention, because you didn't, we're moving over to Knoxville regionals on this one. No longer looking at the Melbourne regionals top 12 here.
Yes, this is the Melbourne. This is Knoxville. Says it right in the top left corner. Sorry about not mentioning that. And day one usage. So I think the first thing that really popped out to me is that Gouging Fire is finally in the top 12.
Let's go, Gouging Fire. I think this Pokemon is really strong, and I'm happy to see it up in the top 12. It makes an amazing pairing with like King Gambit specifically, and I think that's probably why we see so much of it. Howl, Breaking Swipe are both, you know, great support moves, and then Heatcrash does lots of damage.
Yeah, Burning Bulwark, even though it doesn't work against your Urshifus, to be able to threaten a burn on your opposing Rillaboom, the opposing Shenpao, the opposing Wellspring to mitigate that damage output, that's absolutely massive. I have a lot of experience with Gouging Fire, not playing it but playing against it, because if you are a member of New England VGC on February 4th, 2024, when we're recording, you are either a Blood Moon Ursaluna player or you're a Gouging Fire player. Those are and then you have Adrian Colding Light, who just plays 2-2-2 and wins every single tournament with it because he's been playing 2-2-2 for over a year, and you know, comfort wins all. But yeah, it's like, this has been a Pokemon that especially like a lot of the Massachusetts players have been using a lot. We've joked around on the server that like Luca and now James Evans, they're like honorary like Massachusetts players because they brought the Gouging Fire team all the way. It's a really cool Pokemon. It's a really cool team archetype. It's one that I wasn't sure would be as legitimate. I wasn't as sold on Gouging Fire when we first saw like the new Paradox Pokemon and their stats. It was like, I thought Iron Crown would be better overall, but it found its archetype and it is excelling in it. And it's great to see that it's at this point, it's a very legitimate team comp.
Yeah, and like the cool thing with Gouging Fire as opposed to Iron Crown is that there is a ton of physical attackers that can take advantage of Howl. You know, Burning Bulwark is a really great counter into Fake Out Pokemon. It's great into Rillaboom. It doesn't work on Ivy Cudgel, if I'm correct. Similarly, it doesn't work with a Spiky Shield into Spiky Shield because it's like a hammer move. But you know, having the ability to burn Pokemon, you know, a lot of these physical attackers and prevent yourself from being faked out in a large number of occasions is really, really strong. Fire Dragon is a great defensive and offensive typing, and it has, you know, the moves to really do a lot with it. Heat Crash can really knock out a lot of Pokemon. Breaking Swipe, another great way to mitigate attack and allow your King Gambit to set up. And you can very easily get booster speed on this and be faster than the majority of the metagame just like that.
Another thing to just know is just tracking where Urshifus are at. Rapid Strike beat out Single Strike for day one usage by a point and a half. The two of them being 5th and 6th, respectfully. So, in general, like, if you're combining the two in usage, just Urshifu as a Pokemon is over half of the teams in the tournament had some sort of Urshifu on it, which is, it just goes to show how insanely powerful this Pokemon is. When you have a Pokemon that can always crit and always hits through Protect, and you have... It just has, like, great stabs in that. Yeah, it's always going to be used. It's always going to be good.
Yeah, it's just the best, one of the best offensive Pokemon in the format. Both forms have really shot up. Well, Single Strike specifically has shot up quite a bit in its usage. And I think with good reason, you know, Ogre Pond Wellspring has been a dominating force. It's a really great counter into the Rapid Strike Urshifu. But the Single Strike, that Terror Dark Wicked Blow, just does massive damage into close to 100% of the format. I mean, in the top 12 here, you're hitting all but two Pokemon you're hitting all but two Pokemon for super effective damage with your Wicked Blow. Neutral or super effective damage with your Wicked Blow, and your close combats do absurd amounts of damage into just about everything here too.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things like the Terror Dark Wicked Blow. If you think you can hit it, odds are odds are you probably can't. And if you did live it, the Sucker Punch coming next turn is going to just clean you up anyways.
Which is also another big improvement over the Rapid Strike Urshifu. The
Sucker's so much
base power difference is just ridiculous. Of course, with Aqua Jet, you get to click Aqua Jet whenever you want. There's no prerequisite for it to work, but that 30 base power difference is massive.
It really is. And then again, like, speaking of Sucker Punch, Chen Pao coming back, a Pokemon that was not in the top 12 of Liverpool, it has made its return. A lot of the Chen Pao teams I've noticed are, or at least some of the comps are with the Gouging Fire, because it does well against Pokemon. It's great getting these Howl boosts. One of the things, it's a tech that we really didn't see much this week. It's something that has been brought up in my group. Hush actually did this with his Chen Pao, is instead of running Sucker Punch, he ran a Throat Chop. The Throat Chop is a tech where your Chen Pao actually can do stuff into the Photograph and you can hit it super effectively or force it to Terra, which is something that when you were just running Sucker Punch, you had pretty much a useless move there.
And you shut down the Hyper Voice on top of it too. So,
and it's not just the Hyper Voice on the Photograph, it's the Hyper Voice on the Blood Moon, it's the Parting Shot from
Incineroar.
Like, Throat Chop is, we don't have the data to see the move distribution yet, but I wouldn't be shocked if that's something that maybe by like EUIC, depending on where the meta is at, it starts picking up. It might not need to pick up. One of the things that I did note that we noticed as well, once we get into the teams that made top 8, is that Blood Moon Ursaluna did not have a good weekend. And I think part of that is simply just everyone teching everything you can possibly tech into it. Seeing a Moongus in ninth place on day one is a key feature there. Your Blood Moon teams have a really bad Amoongus matchup. You have to figure out the speed tier of your Blood Moon Ursaluna compared to the Amoongus to try to gauge the type of mode that you want to play, whether you try to play outside of the Trick Room or in the Trick Room to get your Blood Moon position to just one-shot the Amoongus with a Terra Normal Moon Blast. I mean, Blood Moon, not Moon Blast. But yeah, it's one of those things where when over a fifth of the teams are bringing that Pokemon, it makes it really difficult to use that archetype.
Yeah, it's just a great anti-Trick Room mode. We did see Amoongus struggle throughout a lot of top eight, in one of the top eight matchups, just having a lot of grass types in the format, like Ogerpon and Rillaboom being so prominent, and Terra Grass also being something that's been seen a lot more. As well, it doesn't really have a lot of redirection, and the spore potential is not great, but the as a counter to the Frigoraf Trick Room that we've seen win multiple regionals in a row now, definitely a really solid Pokemon.
Yeah, and even going further, one of the key counters to Amoongus as well that you didn't mention that we see in this in the day two, Goldango finds a way in every format
because it's Golden Goat. It starts out,
it's like this is the format Goldango's dead. And then it just, a month or two goes by, count your coins, build up some interest, and
click make it rain,
day two,
baby,
14.3%, tied with Champao. And Goldango is just flat out able to sit in front of Amoongus, and Amoongus cannot do diddly to it. You can't spore it. The Pollen Puff does absolutely nothing into it damage wise. You can't even Rage Powder because, they're going to set a Nasty Plot up in front of you and then click Make It Rain, which just ignores the redirection anyways. So as the Amoongus becomes popular, which it did increase usage from day one to day two, went from 20% to 26%, the Goldango is also going to see use. Steel-type damage in general, there's not a lot of it, and a lot of these Pokemon, just going through them, Raging Bolt loves going Terra Fairy. Gouging Fire loves going Terra Fairy. Flutter pretty much always goes Terra Fairy. Frigoraf loves going Terra Fairy. To have the steel type damage that threatens all of these Pokemon that like clicking Terra Fairy, going Terra Fairy as their preferred defensive Terra, it's just another great thing to have as a trick up your sleeve.
Yeah, and it's just great neutral damage into a lot of the format as well. You have a spread 120 base power move that's going to hit 100% of the time. We saw the Nasty Plot that you can sometimes sit there if you have a passive lead against you and just sit there and sit there and sit there and click it over and over and over again. Good as Gold making it immune to status moves, I believe, makes it immune to Parting Shot as well. Yeah, am I wrong there? I have not seen anyone click a Parting Shot into a Golden Go yet, so it might be just like Spore and stuff. I might be
It is blocked by Good as Gold.
I assume so, because like Helping Hand is blocked by it and all these other supportive moves. I mean, it's just a fantastic ability into so much of what is popular right now. Typing wise, it has a decent matchup into the grass type spam from like Ogerpon, Rillaboom, which is nowhere on this top 12. May I say, and Ogerpon is up at number one.
Yes, actually, that is something. Our two favorite girlfriends, they switched place. Flutter was cool with letting Ogerpon take the number one spot. Historians will say that they were roommates. two-thirds of the teams having Wellspring Ogerpon, and this is like, I love this Pokemon. You can do so much with it. It can hit really hard and be super bulky. It can be bulky and be fast. It can be fast and hit hard. Like, there's so, it can only do two of the three things. It can't do all three at the same time, But the fact that you have a Pokemon that can be like, okay, I need a support mon that, even in like, if it's the fast and bulky version, which is my preferred version, just even like having just the mask boost and the Terra itself, and the fact that it's a perfectly accurate 100 base power move in Ivy Cudgel that will have a 30% chance of critting. Sometimes you really don't even care about like, oh, I don't do as much damage. You're still doing enough damage.
Yeah, but like you also can do all three things at the same time. Like you can be bulky by Terra watering and getting your special defense up and just being a great neutral defensive typing. You can be fast and hit hard. And also, like you said, that mask boost and that Terra boost is a lot. It does a lot, and it has great supportive tools. You know, I think that this Pokemon is, you know, rightfully up top, and that's why we also see the extreme fall of the Rapid Strike Urshifu here in Day 2. I believe there was only 4 total that made Day 2, which is...
1, 2, 3, 4. There we go. We can
which
count,
is insanity altogether from where we started the format at. The past couple of weeks, what we've seen, you know, just the Rapid Strike continuing to win. And now it's nowhere near the top 12, more than likely. And the funny part about the Ogerpon is that 2/3 of the teams have the Ogerpon Wellspring. The other 1/3 of the teams probably have some form of other Ogerpon as well on their team, whether it be the Heartflame, the Quarterstone, or the Teal Mask.
Yeah, like Teal Mask, we didn't see it really... this weekend, but in previous weekends, the Cornerstone was on like some Trick Room variants. Of course, we've seen the Teal Mask Ogerpon, specifically the Covert Cloak set, as the ultimate Incineroar counter. I learned that the hard way in a USPA match I played in that I brought. I just reading's difficult, and I didn't like the words Covert Cloak didn't work in my brain, and so I let Incin into it, and it went as bad as you can imagine.
Then it gets its Defiant boost, and then it can Terra, and it can get its Speed boost, and then it can put Superpower.
Yeah, it was... So what ended up happening with that match was I just... So I led, because I was thinking, okay, I can just do Incin, Frig, fake out, Trick Room, like, we ball. And then all of a sudden, I have a +1/+1... Ogerpon in front of me that can't be flinched, and my giraffe's dead. And
yeah,
I just bad, not good whatsoever.
Not at all. And yeah, so but I just think that the Ogerpons altogether are just such good Pokemon. I mean, the Wellspring is, I think it has the best overall typing into the metagame. The ability to boost your special defense when there's 61% Fluttermane running around is fantastic. You're able to hit into Incineroar. You're able to hit into the Landorus. You really don't worry about Amoongus unless you're Terraing. And it's just all around a great Pokemon. It's something that we see on the Gouging Fire King Gambit teams. Something you just see everywhere, obviously, with it up at number one.
It's a more splashable Pokemon than Fluttermane and Incineroar, which is weird to say.
Insane to say.
Yeah, it's actually, like, if you told me that, I wouldn't have believed you.
Yeah, Incin has the same usage as Urshifu Single Strike.
Yes, Urshifu Single Strike, because, again, this is November 2020, and we're playing Series 7, where we have Urshifu Single Strike, we have the Glamora is not here, but we have an Urshifu Single Strike, we have a Genie that plays speed, and we have a Poison Rock type that likes clicking Power Herb Meteor Beam. Which, yeah.
I miss Nihiligo.
I do too, but the thing is, I think the Glamora is just better.
I miss Celesteela. I miss clicking Power Herb Meteor Beam with that Pokemon.
I miss Celesteela a lot. At the same time, I think Celesteela with Terra, I think it's a very good, like, balancing the game.
Oh my gosh, Celesteela in this format would absolutely take names. There is no answers.
And the other thing that, like, because that's the thing, I was thinking, like, okay, Raging Bolt should be able to do it. It has a subpar special defense. Raging Bolt can hit really, really hard with, like, a Thunderbolt or Thunderclap. But then you just Terra out of it, and, like, what are you doing? So yeah, no, no, I'm just, we're going to like not let that get any more into the atmosphere. If they give us the Ultra Beast, they better give us my Tapu Fini. You mentioned Landorus, and Landorus is a Pokemon that was gaining popularity at the end of Regulation E, at the early stages of Regulation F, whether it was Portland Regional, even earlier on in the grassroots tournaments that were held before, like, we finally started getting our official Regulation F events. Everyone thought, like, this was, like, the king of Reg F, and then it just died to all of the prio spam, and we really weren't seeing it. And to see it pop up again in sixth place, I feel like it's found its spot back in.
Absolutely.
This might be a trend that you will see. And maybe it's because, again, we've had so many regionals back-to-back. We're going to have we have another one in Europe next week, and then that, I believe that's our last event until, like, either EUIC or Orlando. We're going to have about 3 or 4 weeks where things will at least settle down, but in this time, there's so many amazing teams and there's so many amazing archetypes, and it's just going to turn into what is the current flavor of the week, and things are going to cycle through. Like, even in Regulation, in Reg C, where everything started Palance, and then by May, Palance was struggling. We had the New Balance teams, we had the Garchomp, Talonflame, Goldengo Hyper Offense teams, and all this other stuff. And then by the time we hit NAIC, yeah, Palafin and Balance is kind of, like, Palance is kind of good again, because it just went in a cycle. Like, this is Landorus with that cycle. With Goldengo becoming more popular and Gouging Fire becoming more popular, Landorus being able to threaten both of those Pokemon with super effective Earth powers is really great. Raging Bolt keeps on climbing up in usage. This Pokemon is probably as good as we all thought it was. And again, it's a Pokemon that is Force of Terra in front of this Landorus. And so with these Pokemon that are becoming more popular, becoming almost staples of the format, being weak to Landorus and having to Terra in front of the Lando in order to get around things, it's good. On the other side of it, it also might change the way that people play Ogre Ponds. I think that in a Landorus format, playing a fast Ogre Pond that outspeeds Landorus is, and again, like, outspeeds Chiyu through that, is important, because that faster Ogre Pond is going to let your Raging Bolt or your Goldengo be able to sit safely in front of the Landorus, because the partner Ogre Pond's threatening it. So even, like, the Pokemon could be the same, but just because one other Pokemon gets popular, another Pokemon, it's the set it'll run will be different. And it's, just in that sense, in the sense of, like, just the diversity of in teams in general, I don't know about you, this is the most fun I've had playing, like, Pokemon in Scarlet and Violet.
I really don't play that much anymore, honestly.
You're doing your draft leagues.
I do my draft leagues. I think that I just kind of have checked out a little bit without having any major events for myself. But Landorus is just one of those Pokemon that is going to continue to be really good, I think, because you have that Terra Poison Sludge Bomb, which ends up being a really good answer into the Ogre Pond and the Flutter Manes. Also, you know, the Raging Bolts, or a lot of them are going Terra Fairy, like you said, the Gouging Fires, the Goldengo, they all like this Terra Fairy. So you have answers to those Pokemon on both ends of the spectrum with your Earth Powers and your Sludge Bombs. The Landorus, a lot of them are running Substitute, which is takes advantage of its higher base speed. It's, 101 or 102, whatever it is. It's just slightly faster than a lot of things, so you can set that sub, protect yourself from really big damage so that you can get something else in next to it. Pairs really well with the Ogre Pond Wellspring. And that Life Orb Sheer Force is going to do tons of damage with no drawbacks from the Life Orb. And it's just an incredibly strong Pokemon. It's a really good answer into Incineroar as well. And Yeah, I'm not surprised to see it up here. It's definitely been a little while since we've seen Lando. But like you said, the diversity of the format keeps going crazy. I mean, the commentators even mentioned it at the end of the tournament today that just there's so many options, there's so many team archetypes, there's so much out there for you to play with that, you have to find something that tries to cover for a lot of things. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why Golden Go ended up popping up so much is that not a lot of people were expecting Golden Go to do so well this weekend. And so there wasn't something that was prepped for, and then this archetype came in with our with Golden Go on it and was really hard to deal with. And we saw, when we get into top eight, Golden Go is the Golden Goat, as per usual. Also on my UDL team that I absolutely adore. So yeah, I think that this format is definitely really cool. It's a lot of fun. I just definitely haven't had the motivation to go out and practice too much.
Just gonna say, you're always invited to just crash my couch and just go to like events with me. This weekend, like this upcoming weekend, I'll be able to go. We're having an MSS PC doubleheader. It feels like there's something all the time, whether it's in Massachusetts or Connecticut. Actually, Maine is even getting some events now, which is just absolutely
We
crazy.
actually have a Long Island PC and MSS coming up short in 2 weeks, I believe. I do work on the day of the MSS, but
Oh, that's brutal.
I'm gonna try and go to the PC if I can. That one is on my day off, so.
Yeah, and maybe you can take one of these great teams that did super, super well in Knoxville. Wow, that amazing transition. I should get paid for
Lovely.
that.
Fantastic.
I should get paid for that. Congratulations, Toler Webb, 2012 Seniors World Champion, now 2024 Knoxville Regional Champion, of stamping his ticket to the World Championships. Maybe going and winning a World Championship and joining, becoming like the second person to win multiple worlds. Actually, I am curious to see what would happen if like one of like Toler Webb, James Evans, these players who won in seniors end up winning in masters, if they will call them a multi-time world champion, or if people will say seniors doesn't matter.
Yeah, I feel like the
I
second one, but I think
I'm going with the first one.
winning
Winning
worlds is
worlds
winning
is
worlds,
exactly.
and I hope that they celebrated by getting some Tupelo down in Knoxville. That is one of the most delicious restaurants that I've ever eaten at in my entire life. The chicken and mac and cheese waffles were the cheesy waffles were just
Oh,
chef's
say it
kiss.
slow. Say it slow. Oh,
Chicken
God.
and cheese waffles. All right, with beautiful maple syrup. Oh my gosh, life-changing moment was having dinner the first night there with Carter, his fiance, and Manny. It was wonderful.
I would commit crimes for some good chicken and waffles. Something that you cannot get up in southern New England. To the surprise of no one, is good chicken and waffles.
Yeah, no surprises here. Yeah, Tennessee chicken and waffles changed my life, and I would have booked a trip back to Knoxville if other people were maybe going, but I don't think that's just for the chicken and waffles.
Yeah, Jesus. So let's get off the food and let's get on to the teams. Toller ran a Tailwind team with a balance component to it. The Goldango, which we mentioned before, the Golden Goat, Tornadus, Raging Bolt, Incineroar, Urshifu, Single Strike, and Ogerpon Wellspring. This is one of the only two teams in the top eight that doesn't have a Flutter main, which is something interesting to note. It is the setup Nasty Plot Goldango, the Rain Dance on, believe it is Rain Dance on the
Yep,
Torn.
it
Okay, there we
is.
go. The Rain Dance on the Torn helps support not only the Goldango defensively, but the Ogerpon offensively. It is just in general very, very solid team. While you do have the speed control with Tornadus, the Tailwind to go at a hyper offense pace, like get the Tailwind up, get a Nasty Plot up, or and do Goldengo things, or with the Tailwind plus Urshifu single strike, speed control plus single strike Urshifu has always been good in VGC when we've had it. And so it continues to clearly do be the same thing in 2024. But there is also like a balance component to this team, having the water, fire, grass, and then the steel and two-thirds of your fairy type of your fantasy core with the Goldango and the Raging Bolt. And like you can do like Goldango, Raging Bolt, Incin, and Water Pond, play a more defensive position-y game, get your Goldango in a position to get an Nasty Plot or two up and just sweep with it.
And so, each of those Pokemon's Terra types complete that fantasy core as well. They're each fairy type Terra, so they can,
yes,
you know, tear away from their weaknesses and go into that.
Yeah, and then I believe one of the other things is the Incineroar and Toler's team, it was Terra Grass as well. So what you were saying earlier with Amoongus being sort of like shut down, Toler would be able to have Goldango and go Terra Grass on the Incineroar and have that in front of an Amoongus, and now the Amoongus really can't do much.
Yeah, and we saw that in his top 8 match against Avery's team. No answers for the Goldango setup. And
again, it's
ended
like,
up at like plus 4 and click and make it rains.
Yeah, it's it was KOing everything. And I think that is another thing, just showing how quickly the meta changes. Jumping to Avery's team, Avery ran the same 6 that the Spanish players, Alex Gomez and Eric Rios, ran last week in their regional. And they were the two who were knocked out of, they were DQ'd from Liverpool, and we didn't really get to see this 6 against high, I'm not saying that the opponents they face in day 1 of Swiss were not high level players, but day 2 play is completely different from day 1 play in terms of just the general like round by round caliber of player. You're going up against someone really good first thing in the morning, and you're going to continue going against people who have a lot of talent until you're either knocked out or you're the last one standing. And this was a team, Avery's team, was built specifically to counter the metagame of the Wolf 6 that did end up winning Liverpool last week, and the Tinglu Amoongus Porygon 2 is also really, really good against all of the Frugraph Blood Moon teams. So Avery bringing this, again, expecting the metagame to be relatively the same in that sense, those being two big teams. But one Pokemon that this team doesn't have an answer into is Goldango, as Toler said in one of his postgame. I think it was his top 8 postgame, was that this 6 hat does not have a Goldango matchup. But when the team was built a week ago, no one was playing Goldango. So you really need to think of the Goldango matchup. So within 1 week, people have already developed, so okay, this is the tech to beat this team. And it went all the way to the top. So
I do love the Como on Avery's team as well.
Yeah.
Shout out Como.
But yeah, it's just, again, showing like how quickly things are changing this metagame and how people are adapting. Another team, like second place, James Evans. We brought up the Gouging Fire King Gambit duo. It is... one, again, these are two of the best friends in the game, and you have the Fluttermane to complete the fantasy trio. The team is rounded out with Rillaboom, Water Pond, and it is our first instance of Landorus Eye, who has been so close to getting a majors win, and just has been the bridesmaid, hasn't been the bride yet.
And James's Rillaboom set was something that was really interesting here. It's not like your standard AV set. It was actually running Taunt and Protect on it.
Yeah. And I believe it was Terra Grass as well.
It was, yes. Yeah. So it's like Fake Out, Grassy Glide, I think it might have been Fake Out, Grassy Glide, Wood Hammer, and Taunt. So you mm-hmm. slotted that Taunt onto the slot, which was actually pretty impactful in the first game of Finals, where Toler switched in their Tornadus to try to get away from an Earth Power on their Incineroar, and actually ended up getting taunted because of it. Toler still went on to win the match, but it made it a lot more difficult because he didn't get his speed control as early as he wanted. And I thought that was a really cool adaptation on this team. I believe the AV might be on No, the King Gambit was also the Swords Dance set, so I don't think there was an AV on this team at all, which is a little interesting.
Yeah, because usually with this team, you are used to seeing the Terra Fairy AV King Gambit with Kowtow Cleave, Iron Head, Sucker, and Low Kick. But yeah, James is didn't have the Assault Vest there. Again, super, super powerful team. Being able to howl to boost up your Ogrepan, your Rillaboom, your King Gambit, it's really great. If people don't have that fighting coverage or steel coverage to try to hit King Gambit, whether it's in Terra or out of Terra, Gambit plus Gouging Fire alone have enough bulk and damage mitigation to just sit there, boost themselves up, and just start picking your Pokemon off one by one by one. It is a really, really powerful duo. The other thing I was told to mention this, my friend Mia, who she came in, she day two'd this event. Her only day one losses were against Toler Webb and James Evans. And yesterday she said to myself and Shawnish, yeah, Toler and James, they're playing on a different level right now. They were really difficult to play against. And clearly the two of them were very much on a different level, finishing first and second in this event.
Yeah, James's Landorus was something that I think was really to note. The way he played with the Landorus was like expert level. It was just outrageously good. It was extremely threatening at almost all times. And in the second game of finals, it sat on the field just the entire game, constantly threatening knockouts on Toler's Incineroar, its Raging Bolt, his Golden Go. It was just, a real menace to deal with. And it came in second in this tournament. It is an extremely strong Pokemon. We did not really see the King Gambit Gouging Fire mode, I think, at all through at least James's two stream games that I was able to catch, which was top four in finals. But we saw the King Gambit in the second game of his top four match, but it just clicked Swords Dance and then died. So
yeah, it was, again, it was just one of those things where matchup wise, it just wasn't there for it. Moving to third place this is Enrique Grimaldo. This is the Entei team that you mentioned. Entei and Incin going double fire, double grass with the Amoongus Water Pond. And then you have Flutter and Ferrigraph to round the team out. Ferrigraph providing speed control on the team. And all I gotta say, like, I love Ferrigraph. I'm very happy that it finished in third. It's been consistently one of the most dominant Pokemon of Regulation F. Just long boys for the win. And the Trick Room mode with like the Amoongus is really, really great. I wasn't able to catch any of his matches, sadly, so I really didn't see too much of the Entei. I'm curious to see why.
It was really interesting. It was a clear amulet Entei, actually, with Sacred Fire, Extreme Speed, Stomping Tantrum, and Protect. Enrique, in the top four match that he played against James Evans, honestly, just, I think that where a lot of Enrique's game plans went to, ended up with him losing, was that he committed that Terra a lot on both games onto that Ogrepan water, which into James's team with, the Landorus and the Rillaboom specific and the Ogrepan as well, it really ended up being a little bit detrimental in the long run. And I think that, protecting something like the Entei, which was pretty key into a lot of those Pokemon from taking those super effective hits, would have ended with, a closer game or better result. But it was a really interesting set. You don't think of Clear Amulet too often on Entei because your inner focus already, you're spamming extreme speed a lot of the time with it. Where does that Clear Amulet really come in clutch? And that is in against Parting Shot Incineroar. It is against Icy Wind Fluttermane as well. Having your speed be high enough to get your Sacred Fires off is really important. And stopping any of those booster speed flutters, which I believe his flutter was also booster speed.
Yeah, I think his was booster speed. Evans's was sash.
Yep.
I think the rest of the flutters, again, just going through specs. Things. I'm like Avery's was specs. I can't remember Kyle's. I want to say Kyle's was actually booster speed.
Yeah, booster would make sense on that because Chiyu is probably specs.
Yeah, Tang was booster speed. And then I think Luca's was specs. We can get to Tang's. We can actually move on to Luca and Tang's teams. The five of the six are the same. It is they're balanced teams with Darkfu, Flutter, Waterpon, Landorus Eye, and Raging Bolt. The only difference is the fire type choice. Chiyu on Luca's team and Hisuian Arcanine on Justin's. One thing just to point out, we have five teams in a row where, I mean, of course, Enrique used both Incineroar and Entei, but five straight teams with five different fire types. And that is probably what is leading towards Incineroar not being the 60% dominant Pokemon that we thought it would be, or some people would have thought it would be going into Regulation F. There are just so many insanely powerful fire types right now that you really can't go wrong with whichever one of these five Pokemon you pick. Assume you pick the right Pokemon for your team.
I'm here for the rise of Chiyu, man. I think it's so underrated and has been for so long. Like, Flutteryu is an absolutely cracked combo together. And I learned, I had my LDL, my dojo match this week. I played against like an Ursula and a Blood Moon for a Graph team. And Flutteryu is just such an amazing answer into those teams. Like, it just does so much. You have all the spread damage you need. It covers for Terastallizations if you're just hitting Heat Wave and Dazzling Gleam. You're doing tons of damage into Pokemon that are even resisting it because Beads are Ruin, plus the extremely high special attacks that each of them have. You know, it's just an incredibly strong Pokemon with a really great ability. And it also couples really well with specifically on Luca's team with the Raging Bolt, where you can do special priority spam now instead of the physical priority spam that we were doing with Chente.
Yeah, move over Chente. You have Raging You.
I like that.
I reason why I went to school for numbers. Not creative stuff. I work in a creative field as the guy who is a bean counter, not the writer.
I like that. Take credit for it, man. Take it to the bank.
I'll get the copyright on it right now. But yeah, it's like with Luca's team, again, one of the things you mentioned that's really good with this is that, again, it's really good into the Blood Moon or Saluna teams. The only thing that, again, you want to know, and this is just something, goes back to what I was saying before, run your fast water ponds. I was up against that last week at a PC. I was up against that Chiyu Flutter lead, and I looked, and it was a specs. It was a specs Chiyu Terra Fire, and maybe if it was like an off Terra Ghost, the calc would be different. But when your Ogre Pond's faster, you can just Terra the Ogre Pond and just bonk the Chiyu, and it's going to drop.
And all of a sudden, it does not have any physical defense at all.
Yeah, and then your Trick Room goes up, and you just go from there. But like, that is one of the benefits of the fast Ogre Ponds, is specifically to help you against that specific matchup with the Chiyu Flutter, because not even just doing like the Dazzling Gleam Heat Wave spam. Booster speed, the Icy Wind Heat Wave spam might be more menacing. Icy Wind Heat Wave does better into these faster Ogre Ponds. And to be able to do that because you're now lowering the speed, getting your Icy Wind off, you're truly forcing the Terra, because they can't play fast and loose and say, you're not going to Terra, so I'm not going to Terra, and I'm just going to go and hit you. It's a really menacing duo from Regulation C from almost a year ago that is back and still doing very, very well. One of the interesting things to note on Justin's Fluttermane is that he used Taunt Fluttermane.
Mm-hmm.
And going with James Evans. Again, trying to stop the Fergraph teams. One of the best ways to stop Fergraph is fastish taunt. And a taunt from your Fluttermane or a taunt from Rillaboom, which I know isn't a fast Pokemon, but still it's faster than most Fergraphs. That in itself, it's just another, it's an extra tech that you can keep in your back pocket for that specific matchup that can honestly win that matchup if you get it positioned properly.
Yeah, non-priority taunt, very good into Fergraph. It just really shuts down its modes. And I mean, that was one of the things I think why we saw so much Fergraph do so well is because a lot of the taunters were the prankster taunters on like the Tornadus or the Whimsicott. But now people are starting to tech on taunt into these random places on Pokemon that aren't priority Pokemon. Fergraph really struggles to deal with that. And then it stops the entire game mode of, okay, we can get Trick Room up and then let our Blood Moon or Saluna or whatever strong Trick Room sweeper we have really go in and do tons of damage. You know, the big thing too with these two fire types, with Luca and Justin's teams, is that they do love missing their moves.
Yeah.
Justin complained that he lost his top eight match because Arcanine was blind on Twitter. And, and I know personally I've been using Chiyu in my draft league as well. I've missed a plethora of heat waves and overheats and whatever. And it does really stink when you miss those moves. But the damage and power you get from both of them is really, really strong. Arcanine has that Intimidate ability. Of course, it's going to bring some credence to, bringing it. It's, trying to resurge after its, six straight wins and then its fall off from the universe. Unfortunately, wasn't able to hit its rock slides or head smashes this time around, though.
So one of the other interesting techs with this Pokemon, what is, Fiona ran this on her Hisuian Arcanine, and it was a Rock Blast over the Head Smash, especially because it's not perfectly accurate. It's 90% accurate, but it's more accurate than the Head Smash. Head Smash has the same accuracy as Hydro Miss, and people call it Hydro Miss for a reason. So Head Smash doesn't get the same exact sort of reputation, but again, it's going to miss more than you would like it to. And so Rock Blast is not only a slightly more accurate version, but it's really, really good into Chiyu or any of these Sash Pokemon, where you just need the 2 to 3 hits to break the Sash and then get the rest of the damage done. And so that was just, while not in the top 8, that was just another change on the Pokemon compared to how we've seen it ran in earlier metagames. People really weren't doing Rock Blast, Hisuian Arcanine in Regulation E or Regulation D.
Yeah, the other thing with the Head Smash too is that, when you actually do hit your move, you're going to take 50% of whatever damage you just dealt. And yeah, when that's 100% of the HP bar, it's going to be a lot of damage. So
yeah, and you are going to do 100% of the HP bar a lot of the time.
Even if it's a resisted hit, you're probably still taking out most of that.
Yeah. So speaking strong of teams that hit hard and like just insanely hard, Kyle Livinghouse. So back in Series 7 of Sword and Shield, we had the Nut Trio. This is the Gut Trio. It's Glamora, Urshifu, Tornadus, and it's the same exact idea, but just two of the Pokemon are different. It's a different looking genie, and it's a different looking special attacking rock. Throw in the Fluttermane Chiyu combo and the ultimate glue Pokemon in the Wellspring Ogerpon. This team will figure out which weak spot of your team it's best to hit you with, and it's going to hit you faster than you possibly could even imagine.
Yeah, and I don't think the toxic debris on the Glamora is all that crucial here. I mean, this team is extremely, extremely hyper offensive. I think that the Glamora here is, we've seen it a lot in the Dozo teams to set up the toxic debris. It does help a lot with the Sash Pokemon and such.
Yeah.
But you're fucking meteor beam and trying to do massive amounts of damage, you know, just going through, getting your special attack raised, and then going crazy from there. And Glamora is probably the best Pokemon for doing that at this point in time. And I think it works, you know, it makes a lot of sense here, as, you know, defensively, it does help out with some of the things that maybe the, like the Chiyu, the Fluttermane might struggle with. And offensively, it's just an absolute menace. That Meteor Beam is no joke.
Yeah, Meteor Beam is taking out, like every non-AV with some special bulk Incineroar. It's taking those out. We were just talking about all the different fire types, that each team has its own special fire type that does its perfect thing for that archetype. Well, Glamora doesn't care about your fire type at all. It's just going to turn it into ashes. One of the other things as well with the poison typing is fairy types are like your Urshifu single strike, and to an extent your Shiyu don't really like being in front of fairy types. And especially once you get that plus one from the Meteor Beam, plus one Sludge Bomb from Glamora is going to take out a lot of these fairy types, even like the litany of Terra Fairy Pokemon that we've spent almost the entire episode mentioning. Just pick one, it's not safe in front of Glamora once it's Terra.
Yeah, and like I feel like the Chiyu pairing makes a lot of sense here, not only because of the Beads of Ruin, but Glamora struggles to hit the steel types. And then, boom, you put Chiyu next to it, one of the strongest special attacking fire types in the game, and it's just going to smash through those steel types. You have the Urshifu as well to help out with that, because you have both Glamora and the Fluttermane who might struggle with that. Like you said, the Ogerpon is, you know, that glue Pokemon that just really helps out. It allows you to get that Meteor Beam off safely. You can bring in your Tornadus to set Tailwind if you need. Bring in your Chiyu afterwards to just do massive damage if you want. So this team is really cool, obviously really strong. And Kyle Livinghouse is another person who just lives in top eights, as do a lot of this top eight. It is extremely, extremely stacked here.
Yeah. We already talked about Avery's team a little, but just, again, going a lot more into it, this was a meta call developed, again, a couple weeks ago, or about a week and a half ago at this point, we'd say. The Amoongus, Tinglu, and Porygon2 core is very, very good against all of the types of Blood Moon teams that we've seen. Incineroar is just, it's an Incineroar and just really rounds everything out on that more, like, very slow defensive style of game. The Fluttermane, again, it's a glue it's your damage dealing glue Pokemon. You can slap a Specs Fluttermane on pretty much any team and it's going to do well. And then the final Pokemon that's actually, I think, the most interesting one is the Iron Defense Body Press Komo. In last week's stream interviews, Eric Rios and Alex Gomez mentioned that the Komo is there for the Wolf team, the Fire Water Grass Balance team. Because your especially once you get a body press or an iron defense or two up, your dragon typing is really going to wall all of these Pokemon. Iron Head is going to threaten the Fluttermane. You have Overcoat to, again, give yourself an Amoongus immunity, and you can just click body press or Iron Head into the rest of the meta and do insanely well into it. The only issue for Avery is that the team doesn't have a Goldango matchup, and she just got a really bad draw in top 8 against Solar Web, whose Goldango showed how dominant it is against this team.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned the Overcoat is what Komo has been running. I know at the start of the, you know, when Komo started popping up, it was actually running the Bulletproof as a, you know, sheer counter to Fluttermane, because once you Terra'd into your Terra Steel, Terra Poison, Terra Fire, Fluttermane had almost no way to hit you from there. You know, Shadow Ball doesn't do anything, Moonblast is resisted at that point, and Komo has a fantastic bulk. I do think that the, you know, with the prevalence of Amoongus, Overcoat is the right call right now. But I do think it's interesting that we moved away from that. I also do really like the Terra Poison P2. We've seen that, you know, popping up last week and also this week as well. It's one of those Pokemon that can use Terra Blast both before and after Terastalization for stab damage. And with a download boost, that Pokemon becomes really, really tough to deal with. I do think the prevalence of Incineroar with Parting Shot and Knock Off make it much tougher. Weaker because it's slow and very easy to just bonk away your EV light and now you're not so bulky. But we were having a big discussion about it in UDL in terms of tiering, and it turns out that its bulk after Eviolite is knocked off is extremely similar, actually a little bit better than that of Ferrigrath. So it is, you know, not dead in the water with that, but the Parting Shot is always a great way to deal with the download boosts. And if you end up getting the wrong download boost, then you're not really doing all that much. So.
Well, one of the nice things, if you do get the wrong download boost, if you do Terra, your Terra Blast will turn into the higher stat. So you will still be getting off some damage output. A lot of the Porygon 2, their spreads, they'll actually, instead of putting, they will completely uninvest in speed. And they will actually put their last 4 stat points into the attack stat instead. So that you do have, again, a modicum, the literal bare minimum of attack input. But from what we saw in our previous weeks with the Hyper Voice Ferrigraphs, and even last week with the download boosts on Porygon 2, when you get +1, you're going to do more damage than you think. And even on that physical side, you do have to commit your Terra to make this play, but it at least is a play you have.
Yeah, it's just also when you're on the physical side, you're weak to intimidate. We actually saw in one of the matches that the Porygon got a boosted attack, and then it got intimidated right back down. So it's like,
You know, you call that even.
Yeah, so you know, your damage output then is still pretty not great, unfortunately. But yeah, I also wanted to say, I was a little right when I said maybe Ting Lu is something that we can that might be good in this format, and it's had a, you know, decent showing in the past few weeks, getting on stream in a lot of them, getting disqualified in a few of them, but also just,
you know, like a little column B, you always have to roll with the punches. Like you get knocked down, you just got to get back up, and Avery was the one who got up and cut with the team.
Tinglu stocks are certainly up right now. They're on the upward trend. And it's cool to see that Pokemon doing well. Because I think it fits into like the balanced archetype really well.
Yeah, and with that being said as well, like with Avery, last week with the Spanish players, everyone was like, what is this team? Like, maybe there were a few people who had an idea that, okay, Amoongus P2, Ting Lu might be a thing. A lot of people keep their ear to the ground. They know what's going on with other building groups and such. But for the general populace, that being me, I had no idea about this team. And I'm pretty sure I wasn't the only one, not just who, like, for just general VGC people, but a lot of people were surprised. Going into this week, everyone knew this 6 is a thing. This 6 is specifically here for this format to do these matchups. And Avery was still, like, without the element of surprise, was still able to do very, very well. And to play a team that is very format dependent, I think Ting Lu is a good Pokemon when it's right for that format, and as of right now, it is a right format for Ting Lu to cut. Might not be the case next week, but at least for this weekend it was. But it wasn't as good as last weekend, and Avery was still able to just play through it without that element of what does this team do. So that in itself is very impressive. Our final team in top 8, Nora Bowman, using another balanced team, the speed control being with the Ferrigrath. And this is a double Long Boys team. This is a team after my own heart with the Ferrigrath and the Raging Bolt. What's better than one giraffe?
Two of them.
Exactly. Two giraffes.
Yeah, I just wanted to say shout out to Bubs here, because I know she's been grinding for the longest time. I played her back in Hartford. In day one, and you know, she finally got that top 8 here that she's been working so hard for. So very, very proud and happy for Nora here.
Yeah, and I mean, I really, really like this team. The one thing with this team, we were able to, again, we don't have data. Jay and I, we were able to say, okay, we knew which Urshifu was which. We knew which, and by which one was which. They're all Dark Fu. Besides Nora's, because when you look at this team comp, at least with the other teams, sure, Rapid Strike Urshifu plus Water Pond on the same team is a thing, but in general, Water Ogre Pond has been the water Pokemon of choice. On Nora's team, you do see the Amoongus and the Incineroar for the Fire Water. I mean, Fire Grass. It could make a lot of sense for Urshifu Rapid Strike to be here as your water type, which again also matches sort of like the Fire Water Grass Fergraph teams that Wolf was using, and our winner from last week's Liverpool also used it as well. But it could also be the Dark Fu, because Dark Fu just had a better representation. It's just a better matchup spread across the board. So we aren't sure. What we do know is that this is a very good team. It's, you're able to position yourself well. You're able to click Trick Room in front of your generally faster teams or in front of your Tailwind teams. Like Nora can click Trick Room in front of Lucas' team or Justin's team, teams that have no direct, like, or even like set speed control at, but their Pokemon lean just generally faster, so Nora can go there. Raging Bolt is just, again, a great defensive glue Pokemon. One of the things that we didn't mention with the Raging Bolts is that pretty much all of them are Assault Vest Raging Bolt with Snarl, and I believe a lot of them have also adopted the Electro Web that we were seeing as well.
Not Toller's, but a lot of the other ones.
Yeah, not Toller. Yeah, Toller's was Thunderbolt.
Thunderbolt, Thunderclap, Draco Meteor, and Snarl.
Yes, but we did see some of the ones where they were Electro Web instead of the Thunderbolt. In general, just a really, really great team, specifically for this format. And like, I'm just a sucker for any team with a Verigraph on it, so I'm just going to really like it. So congratulations against Nora, and congratulations to everyone in the top eight of Knoxville Regionals. Now, I know there's one other team that we do have to talk about, because I feel like this was the team of the day. It was the ninth place team.
That was Len, right?
Yep, Len Duell. And let's throw this open, and I'm going to, like, if I show you this picture, this is Series 3.
I just... The only person
actually
who can
no
run this
no
is
this
Len.
Is Series 2. This is literally like, go back in the time machine a year ago, and this is, hey, here's my sand team, and I just got the funny penguin, so I'm gonna throw that on there.
Yeah, shout out to Lentar as per usual. Len always is gonna keep running the Titar Garchomp stuff for life, just about, and unfortunately just bubbled the cut here. You have Life Orb. I don't think that's actually Life Orb.
So this is this was a commonality of the stream, and it's something that I could be wrong, but I think I noticed it more this stream than any other. The graphics were almost never right in the
Toller
final.
Had two Incineroars.
Toller had that's the real reason why Toller won, and one of his Incineroars knew Wicked Blow, just disgusting.
Ridiculous. Yeah, this looks like it would either be Scarf or Specs on the Golden Go.
It was Specs on the Golden Go. The other thing that, again, like, I'm not sure. Lefty's I'm not Garchomp. Sure if it's actually Terra Flying Iron Bundle or not.
Huh.
Because most are either Terra Ghost, or Terra Grass for defensive reasons. And I've seen, like, Terra Ice. I don't know what Iron Bundle would get out of being Terra Flying.
Resistance to close combat.
But you also get that from Ghost.
True.
You're just immune.
Yeah. That's the only thing I can think of here, though.
Yeah, because it's also like... the only thing I can think of, because it is Earthquake Garchomp, so actually could be Terra Flying. So that's... See, we talked it through.
Yeah, you got a little Quake mode going on there.
Yeah, but like, again, it's... That's the only thing I can think of. This team, it's... There's nothing more classic in VGC than playing a team that sets weather, and then you just click Rock Slide until your opponent wants to quit.
Yeah, and especially when you're pairing it with Sandville Substitute Garchomp.
This is disgusting. This is, so he pulled up, he talked about this in an interview before his match, and it was a graph that showed like the win probabilities of Sandvale. It was like back when weather, like for permanent weather, how Sandvale Garchomp beat
Paralyzed
Cresselia because of just the war of attrition of Sandvale substitute and lefties just chipping away at the and like the sands chipping away at the Cresselia. So this is like, Len is a VGC vet, a VGC lifer. And it's really great to see a player who, in the grand scheme of things, has moved more so towards the casting side more than anything, come out and play, in my opinion, play very, like, not going to take away from any of our top eight players, but Len played just as well as all eight of those players this weekend. And
it probably had to play harder than a lot of them because he's using these Pokemon that are not very good anymore. I mean, when's the last time you've seen a Lycanroc, Bundle, Corviknight, Tyranitar, or Garchomp in this format?
This time last year.
Yeah, just about, like...
Actually, I think this six might be, like, five of the six that Shawnee and Mia took to NAIC last year. Because I know that they... Unless I'm like completely wrong, I know they took sand. So I think this is like pretty close to what it was. I know they had the Lycanroc, T-Tar, Garchomp. I can't remember anything else that they, like, I think they had the bundle. Even seeing bundle here, one of the things that just is, we're going to talk about in terms of just obtaining your Pokemon. Bundle's the first Future Paradox Pokemon we've seen. Every other every team had a Paradox Pokemon on them in the top eight, and they were all past Paradox Pokemon. And that does come into, like, none of the, like, it's gotten to the point where I feel like all of the Future Mons have just been completely outclassed in some way, shape, or form. Which kind of sucks if you got Violet, because Bundle had its time in the sun. Iron Hands was a dominant Pokemon up until Regulation F. And now these are two Pokemon that really aren't used as much. And the past Paradox Pokemon are just everywhere.
Yeah, and unfortunately, if you have Violet and you're not made of money like our good friend Daddy Robux over here...
I do not have Starlight.
You have to buy the other game in order to... And you have to have a separate name or something. A whole lot of other disqualifications happened this week because of things like that. So
yeah, and just, again, like, going through it, like, I'll use an example. I know I don't have both versions of the game. I'm not going to buy both versions of the game. I have a wedding to pay for. Those are expensive. And one of the things is, talk with my team building group, and one of the things we brought up was Raging Bolt. And I just said, I don't have a Raging Bolt because I don't have Scarlet. I'm trying to work through. I'm like doing like a little playthrough, another playthrough of Violet, and a friend of mine's doing a second playthrough of Scarlet, so we could each have like the other Paradox Mons. But that's doing something like that. It takes away the time that you can test. It takes away from like your life. Like,
yeah, a lot of time.
You have to catch
all Pokemon in the Blueberry Dex in order to just get the quest for them.
Yeah, 200.
And
you also have to catch 150 in the Kitakame Dex because you need to do the Blood Moon Ursa Luna quest to unlock. Even if you've gotten the 200 Pokemon in the Blueberry Academy decks, if you haven't captured Blood Moon Ursa Luna, you can't get the Paradox Mons.
And if your name is a different OT, or if it's the same one and it's a different number, they still might ban you for having it. So, it is becoming less accessible to play Pokemon, it seems. And that's also been another major reason why I have been bowing out slightly. Because accessibility is too much for the working population and the people who don't have big groups of people to go and get Pokemon for them like some of the top guys do.
Yeah, like, there were some Pokemon that were removed. There were some Pokemon, like, people who got DQ'd. we're not going to go super deep into this. A lot of it's hearsay. Don't take everything you read on the internet as gospel. All I'm going to say, we at Literate Lessons, just know where you're getting your Pokemon, I think is the most we want to say. I know one of the arguments is you pay all of this money for the registration fee, the ticket and everything, and then you're DQ'd because of a situation that isn't explained well to you. And that really sucks. On Absolutely. The other side of it, if you're already putting in the investment of going to this event, it's not going to really hurt you to just take the extra time to make sure that the Pokemon that you're using, like, you're just 100% with fully, whatever and however 100% means to you. My background being an actuarial background with insurance and stuff, it's always good to have that little bit of extra insurance to minimize risk, to make sure you're maximizing the investment of your time and money. And that's really all I have to say about this situation.
Yeah, it definitely sucks for anyone who was disqualified and wasn't explained well. I know at Hartford, we had a little group and one of our buddies suddenly disappeared. Turned out he had been disqualified. We never figured out why. That, you know, really stunk. As a working man, someone who doesn't have a lot of time, I understand why people would go around to other routes to try and get their Pokemon and try to get it through different people and such. But the hack checks, they're here. They're prominent, they're everywhere. And unfortunately, a lot of people are getting, you know, DQ'd without a real explanation on their Pokemon were hacked or if it was just because it was another game with the same trainer name or what. So just be super careful if you are attending events and, you know, do your best to minimize that risk by trying to get all your Pokemon yourself.
Yeah. And I'm just going to say this, and this is for all of our listeners. If you need a Pokemon, whether it's like especially like a breedable Pokemon or stuff, reach out to me. We are all like everyone in the Literate Lessons community is here to help you, whether it's the hosts or the members or anyone else in our staff. And if you want to make sure like you don't have the time to get a Pokemon or you need a Violet exclusive or something, just reach out. We have channels specifically for trading and such. And whether it's like a egg reject or something, you can get your Pokemon handled that way. So Jay, I'm very happy that you're here.
Yeah, because I get to do the outro this time, right?
On a scale of like awful to never listen to this podcast ever again, like how bad were they?
They're not that bad. I think you're a lot harder on yourself than you should be. I know I set the bar extremely high with my outros.
You did.
Your outros are fun, man. You guys do a great job, and I really appreciate you taking the past 2 weeks. It's been a pretty wild past 2 weeks, for me personally. So it's always nice to have some time off, similar to how Carter had some time off today. Although most of the time Carter's here, he has time off anyway. So
yeah,
we love you, Carter. We love you, bro.
We can get you now because you can't say anything. Like zero defense. This is how it feels like when you guys make all the rich jokes when I'm not on the podcast. Which, by the way, I'm not rich.
Yes, he is. Don't let him fool you.
I work for my money. get us out of here.
Thank you all so much for watching episode number 205. Make sure you like, subscribe, comment, all that fun YouTube stuff. Make sure you come and join the community Discord. We all chill over there. We all have a good time. You can trade and try to get you not DQ'd into your next event. Follow the Twitter at LRLessons. Check out the website, LRLessons.com. Check out your Patreon and Discord supporter links as well. Shout out to Johnny Bravo Sr. and Papa Swish for their support on Patreon, and shout out to Smeargle over on Discord. With that, thank you all so much for watching, and we will see you all next week. See ya.